The sermon text for today comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And as I said before in the introduction to the service, all of these readings, and you probably heard a little as Thomas was reading earlier, they focus on the end times and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the sermon text is no exception, so I'll ask you to please stand once again for the reading of God's Word and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and again from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, reading in Jesus' name. In fact, these are the words of Jesus. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took oil or took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. And at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words that you have for us today. We thank you for what they speak to us, and we pray now for open hearts and minds and discerning spirits to receive what you have for us from your word this day as we comprehend and meditate on the second coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, prepare us and make us ready. And Lord, if we are lacking, Lord, by your grace, forgive us, redeem us, and strengthen us in your faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So when I was in college and seminary, I was generally a pretty good student. But I was notorious for one thing. You know what it is, Michelle? Waiting to the last minute to write my papers. Were any of you like that in school, or are any of you like that in school? Without fail, even though the professors gave us plenty of time throughout the semester to write our papers or study for our exams, I would almost always put it off until the last minute, to the night right before the paper was due. I'd start writing. I can't tell you how many hours I spent in the Mansfield Library of the University of Montana or the Christensen Memorial Library at Lutheran Brethren Seminary, late at night writing those papers. Those hours are way too many to count. And it was my own fault. Although post-secondary education isn't perfect, I found that university and seminary professors are usually good about one thing, and that's providing a syllabus with everything that we need to do in it, when papers are due and when exams are scheduled. So you would think, the smart guy that I am, you think I would plot out my entire semester ahead and give myself plenty of time to write my papers. You would think from the day that a paper was assigned that I'd start working on it, right? Wrong. For most of the 7 years of my undergraduate and seminary career, I would put things off to the last minute. I guess I had better things to do. I mean, in college, in my undergrad, I was an ROTC cadet working to become an Army officer. But then again, I needed that degree in order to become an Army officer. So anyway, it was fighting against the two things. But I even pulled a few true and genuine all-nighters. Have any of you ever pulled an all-nighter, stayed up the whole night and didn't get any sleep? It's not a fun experience, and I didn't do it often. In fact, I can count on my hand the number of times I actually did go a full night without sleeping in order to get a paper done. But somehow it worked. With all my nights of cramming and writing those papers at the last minute, in the end I did graduate with both degrees. And yes, I think I learned what I was supposed to learn. But I also learned something else, probably even more important along the way. Procrastination is not the way to live. It may work in the short term with the little things in life like school papers, but when it comes to the bigger, more important things in life, procrastination is a killer. It has no place in the kingdom of God. And that's where our text for today takes us. That's what it's all about. Jesus is in the middle of what is called the Olivet Discourse, his great block of teaching prior to the crucifixion. And it's called the Olivet Discourse because Jesus gives it on the Mount of Olives, as we see in the beginning of Matthew chapter 24. Now, in this Olivet Discourse, Jesus teaches primarily on his second coming and the end of the age. In fact, in addition to the book of Revelation, Matthew chapters 24 and 25 give us the clearest picture of what the second coming of Christ is going to look like. So, for the majority of chapter 24, Jesus describes the events of his second coming in detail. And then Jesus turns his focus on his disciples, who he's teaching. And really, the focus is on all Christians, including you and me, on what the attitude of Christians should be toward his second coming. So from chapter 24, verse 42, through chapter 25, verse 30, Jesus tells his disciples four parables on readiness. And his point is summarized very well in chapter 24, verse 44. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So that's kind of the summary of his whole teaching here on readiness. The attitude of a disciple of Jesus Christ should always be one of readiness. Stay awake is another way of saying it, or be ready, keep watch. Because no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father, as he says in 24, verse 36. The attitude of a disciple of Jesus Christ is one of readiness. This brings us to our text for today and the parable of the 10 virgins. As with most parables of Jesus, he explains the kingdom of heaven using customs and traditions that would have been familiar to his audience. First century Jewish weddings were very different than weddings in our own day. Normally, marriages would have been arranged by the parents, and the actual wedding celebration would take place over a period of a week, with different traditions thrown in here and there. In this parable, Jesus describes one of those traditions. In fact, it's a tradition that took place to actually kick off the wedding celebration week. So after being engaged or betrothed for a full year, the man and the woman would then fully consummate the marriage. And it began with these virgins, similar to bridesmaids. It began with them preparing the bride for the groom. So the bride would be waiting for the groom in the celebration hall, and then the bridesmaids would go out and wait to escort the bridegroom to the location where the bride was and commence the wedding celebration. So these virgins or bridesmaids were his escorts to lead him where the bride was. This portion of the wedding celebration would normally take place at night as well. So the bridesmaids would need to take oil lamps with them to light the way for the bridegroom. The problem is, as Jesus describes in the parable, 5 of the 10 virgins forgot to bring oil with them. Jesus calls them foolish, and rightly so. Have you ever seen one of those memes on the internet that has a picture of something that's been messed up, and then it has the words, "You had one job"? Have you seen those before? I remember seeing one where a school zone was painted on the street, but the painters painted S-H-C-O-O-L instead of S-C-H-O-O-L, and then the caption is, "You had one job." Well, in the parable, the virgins had one job. It wasn't simply to meet the bridegroom. Their job was to light his way to the wedding feast. Light requires a power source. We all know that. In this case, the power source was oil to keep the lamps burning, to give light. But it would have been the same as them bringing the most powerful LED flashlight and then forgetting the batteries. Same kind of deal here. The 10 virgins had one job and they blew it. They weren't ready. Jesus tells this parable in order to address the sad truth that many people will fail to be ready for his second coming. Now, it's pretty obvious that non-Christians won't be ready for the second coming. That kind of is the defining factor of a non-Christian. But Jesus' main concern here in this parable is not on the non-Christians. His focus is on Christians, his followers, his disciples. The 5 foolish virgins don't just represent non-Christians. They do to a certain extent. But they also represent certain Christians themselves. You see, many Christians, yes, I said it, many Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, are here and now not ready for the return of Jesus Christ. They may call themselves Christians, but they have forgotten to bring oil. Way back in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives another parable, the parable of the sower, where he uses soil to describe the different ways people receive his words. You may recall that there were the 3 bad soils and only the 1 good soil. Now, I'm not going to go over this parable in detail. That's another sermon for another day. But I do want to summarize what Jesus' point is in this parable. Obviously, there's the good soil, which represents those who receive Jesus' words, receive faith, and live in that faith on a daily basis. That's what the good soil is all about. Then there's one type of soil, the path, which represents those who never truly believe to begin with. But then there are 2 types of soil, the rocky and the thorny, which represent those who believe in Christ for a while, but then later they fall away for various reasons. These and the 5 foolish virgins in our passage for today are in the same group. Those who once truly believed in Jesus Christ, but then over time drifted away and proved themselves unready for Christ's return. In the parable of the sower, Jesus cites tribulation and persecution as some of the reasons why Christians fall away from the faith. He also cites the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches as some other examples of why people fall away from the faith. These are all examples of being unready and unprepared for when Christ comes. They can all cause us to lose focus on Christ and forget to bring the oil of readiness. Another example is complacency, or just procrastination. As the text says in verse 5, as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. You see, the error of the five foolish virgins was not that they fell asleep. For even the wise virgins fell asleep. They all fell asleep. They all became drowsy and fell asleep. Indeed, Jesus does make the charge, stay awake, right? But this is simply another way of saying be ready or keep watch. If we do fall asleep, it's better to fall asleep knowing whose we are, knowing that we are secure in Jesus Christ, than to have any doubt. The error of the five foolish virgins is that they become complacent at the bridegroom's delay. Their first error is that they forgot the oil to begin with. But their error continues in that they become complacent at the bridegroom's delay. The bridegroom was delayed, and yet they were still out of oil. Do you see the dilemma here? You had a full semester to write that paper and still nothing? Complacency, procrastination, laziness. Call it what you will. It proves them unready for the coming of the bridegroom. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4 says that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. And listen to this. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where's the promise of his coming? Everything is staying the same. Jesus won't come today, right? I still have time to do what I want, have fun, right? As Thomas read for us this morning from 1 Thessalonians, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Like the foolish virgins of the parable, many people, Christians included, would be caught completely off guard if Christ were to return today. In a panic, they would also say, Lord, Lord, open to us. But then it's too late. Those not ready for the return of Christ will only hear the words, I do not know you. And they will be left out of the kingdom of heaven for good. But thank God that there is a delay. Yes, that's the good news of this passage. The bridegroom had been delayed. Christ's return has been delayed for our benefit. Not to get us complacent, not for us to procrastinate, but for us to get ready, to acquire the oil of readiness. The five foolish virgins really represent all of us in this regard. We may have forgotten the oil. We may have fallen back into sin, becoming overcome by trials, deceived by the world, fallen from faith. The bridegroom was delayed, and yet the foolish virgins were still out of oil. Christ's coming has been delayed, and yet are you still not ready? There's still time. There's still time. The bridegroom has been delayed for your sake. This goes back to the quote I mentioned earlier from 2 Peter 3. Verse 9 of that passage goes on to say, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Christ delays his coming so that many more people may become ready. Remember, it's not a bad thing, the delay of Christ. It's not a delay to bring about procrastination and complacency. It is, in fact, a blessed delay so that many, many more may be able to be ready for his coming and equip themselves with the oil of readiness. And what is the oil of readiness? It is living daily in Christ's grace, admitting where we have fallen short, confessing our sins, and believing that the death of Jesus still remains sufficient to save us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To possess the oil of readiness means living in daily repentance. To possess the oil of readiness means, as Thomas read, to be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. To possess the oil of readiness is to be like those five wise virgins, ready at any moment for the coming of the bridegroom, ready at any moment to meet our Maker, either at the second coming of Christ or at our own physical deaths. To possess the oil of readiness means to know for certain where you will end up when he indeed does come, like a thief in the night. When the midnight cry is heard, "Here is the bridegroom," you will know for certain that you are his. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you, like the five wise virgins, have the oil of readiness in abundance, and you eagerly await the coming of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Then rejoice and continue to wait for his coming. Or as you sit here today, have you found yourself unready for whatever reason? Have you forgotten the oil? Has life taken you by storm? Are you overwhelmed by all the world has thrown at you? Have you gone complacent? Or have you just been procrastinating? Nah, I have time. Don't lose heart. There's still time. The bridegroom has been delayed for your sake, but he still will come at an hour you do not expect him. Receive once again the words of eternal life. Confess your sins today before a holy and merciful God. Receive the opportunity to repent, which God has been so patiently waiting and wanting to give you. And believe that Jesus did pay it all for you. Receive today the oil of readiness and keep watch, because the bridegroom's on his way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the message that you have delayed, not for bad reasons, but to make us ready and to make others who are not ready today, to give them an opportunity to repent and be ready as well. So, Lord, I pray that you would allow us once again to receive the oil of readiness, to confess our sins before you, and to clothe ourselves in your faith on a daily basis. And Lord, when bad things happen in our lives, we pray that you would keep us in your grasp. Pour out your love upon us and continue to draw us closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name.